Good to see everyone here this morning. I hear a few coughs in the audience. And someone asked me when I came in this morning if I was feeling better. And of course, I feel a lot better than I did last week and the week before. But I still got a nagging cough. It kind of comes and goes, but nevertheless, I think that's part of the disease that's going around. Cough, cough, cough. And Brother Sharp, I guess you're still coughing too, aren't you?
A little bit.
Well, it's going to be with you for a while. This morning, we're going to deal with something that's going on in the news this week. Perhaps if you've listened to the radio program this week, we've talked about this a couple of days, but this morning I want to deal with this supposed lost tomb of Jesus that has been found. We're going to talk about this. Of course, actually, our focus will be eventually on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to deal with what the Scriptures have to teach about the resurrection of Christ, but I want to begin our study this morning by looking at some of the alleged claims that have taken place. There's a fella who has claimed to have found the lost tomb of Jesus Christ. And, of course, we know that that is not the case. This tomb that held Jesus' body at one time for 3 days has been empty for almost 2,000 years. And we know that. We as Christians believe that. In fact, that is the foundation of our faith in Christ, as was read in your hearing a little earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is a center point of Christianity. And this morning we're going to at least study for a time what the Bible says about the resurrection of Christ. But first of all, here's an article, or at least the first two paragraphs of an article written by Jennifer Viagas from Discovery News this week, February 25th. In fact, it was last Sunday. New scientific evidence, including DNA analysis conducted at one of the world's foremost molecular genetics laboratories, as well as studies by leading scholars, suggest a 2,000-year-old Jerusalem tomb could have once held the remains of Jesus of Nazareth and his family. The findings also suggest that Jesus and Mary Magdalene might have produced a son named Judah. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. First of all, a Discovery Channel documentary, The Lost Tomb of Jesus, will be televised tonight at 8 p.m. And if you have a DVR or a VCR recorder or a DVD recorder, if you want to record it and watch it, that's fine, I suppose. That's your business. I'm going to watch it simply for educational purposes so that I can expose it for the fallacy that it is. And we're going to be doing some of that this morning anyway. But it's going to be on tonight on the Discovery Channel at 8 p.m. And this documentary comes from the executive producer, James Cameron, and director, Senka Jacobovici. Jacobovici describes himself as an investigative journalist and filmmaker. And he claims that statistical, historical, archaeological, and DNA evidence back his position that ossuaries found in this tomb contain the bones, or at least once contained the bones. Well, you know, first of all, what in the world is going on? You know, as you think about some of the things that have come out in the last few years, in fact, going back into the early 70s, there are a lot of books, a lot of movies, a lot of things written and suggested regarding Jesus Christ. I firmly believe, friend, that there is a concerted agenda to disavow the Scriptures, to undermine the veracity of the Scriptures. You have the last temptation of Christ, you have the sacred mushroom, the secret gospel, Jesus' scroll, And Jesus Christ Superstar, 1973. And more recently, The Holy Blood, Holy Grail book by Michael Bagent. The Jesus Papers, again by Michael Bagent. And of course, The Da Vinci Code that was written by Dan Brown, of course, as he plagiarized from the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail by Michael Bagent. There is a concerted effort, in my mind, at least by some, to undermine the credibility of the Scriptures. Well, this particular tomb that is allegedly been found, was actually found, it's not new by the way, was actually found March 28th in 1980 by a construction crew in Jerusalem. The Talpiot tomb is what they call it. In fact, there's a picture of it there on the screen. 10 ossuaries or limestone bone boxes were found in the tomb. Now, these bone boxes, in fact, here you can see a picture, this is Senka Jacobovici pointing at one there, that's supposedly Mary Magdalene's tomb box. bone box, and the one on the other side of it there is supposedly Jesus' box. But this is a news conference that took place last Monday. These limestone boxes were made and built to contain bones about a year after a person died. They buried them in a tomb. Then they went back a year later. Let me rephrase that. They would bury someone in a tomb, and a year later they go back and they take the remains out after they decompose and take the bones and put in these bone boxes. And six of these bone boxes that they found in this tomb had inscriptions on them. Five of them were inscriptions that they believe are associated with figures in the New Testament. And I have here on this chart the names, the inscriptions that they have found, allegedly, on these bone boxes. Jesus, son of Joseph, in Aramaic. And by the way, we're going to see how questionable that in and of itself is in a moment. The Hebrew inscription, Maria, a Latin version of Miriam. Matthew, in Hebrew, that is supposed to be Matthew. Merimin, e Mara. In the Greek, literally, Mary known as the Master. This is supposed to be Mary Magdalene, by the way. And of course, the Scriptures, you know, we read about Mary Magdalene in the New Testament, but it's always, and there you have the Greek, Mary Magdalene is the Greek. If you translate it, or transliterate it, Maria Magdalene. And as you can see, I would wonder why they did not write, if that was her name, why didn't they write her name on the bone box? Or Judas, son of Jesus. Now, this is supposed to be the son of Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, what they did was they took some DNA evidence and they tried to link together some of these findings. Now, the only thing that they could conclude conclusively is that the box that they say has Jesus' name on it and the box that they say has Mary Magdalene's name on it, they were not related. And that's all they could discover. Now, they have not demonstrated in any way, shape, manner, or form any DNA association with any of the, you know, any of these boxes except that they were from the same time period. That's all they can tell. We've got some interesting stuff on that in a moment, too. But let's get to the inscriptions, back to the inscriptions. Here you have a stenograph of the inscription on the box they claim to be Jesus's. On this particular box, they say, is Jesus, son of Joseph. Now, there is the Hebrew or the Aramaic writing for Yeshua. Aramaic of Jesus. And there, here is an alternate spelling in Aramaic, Yehoshua. Now, they claim that that right up there, I don't know if you can see it or not very clearly, but this right here, this is supposed to be that letter right there. Now that's what that's supposed to be. And this is supposed to say right here, Yehoshua. Now I don't know how in the world they got that out of that, but friend, I looked at it, I've stared at it, and my eyes are kind of cross-eyed right now. I can't see it. I can't see Yehoshua there. I cannot see that right there up there. I just can't see it. Now, there are some scribbles on there, no doubt about it. In fact, you know what's interesting? Stephen Fon, president of Jerusalem's University of the Holy Land and an expert in Semitic languages, told National Geographic News, I don't think it says Yehoshua, it says Hanan or something like that. Now, there are those who claim that it does, but, you know, first of all, it's certainly not clear, even if it does. It's not clear, it's not that legible. Amos Cloner, professor Land of Israel Studies and Archaeology, says in 1996, when a British broadcasting corporation put a documentary out on this very same tomb and the findings of it, he challenged it along with a lot of other archaeologists. Amos Cloner was the first archaeologist to examine the site. And he said the idea fails to hold up by archaeological standards but makes for profitable television. They just want to get money for it. He goes on, he says it makes a great story for TV film. He told the Jerusalem Post, but it's impossible. It's impossible, he said. It's nonsense. The names on the caskets are the most common names found among Jews at the time. So he's contending that perhaps it does say Joshua. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. You can't prove that, number one. But even if it does, it's one of the most common names. In fact, it's one of the top four names in at that time. Bruce Feiler. This is not a Christian. This is an agnostic that's writing this. He says, the name on the ossuaries are very common. 21% of names of women are Mary, Joseph. Joseph and Jesus are among the top four male names. The presence of these names in a tomb would not have been rare. The name Jesus has been found in dozens of tombs over the years. Further, we have no evidence that this is a family tomb. It could have been a communal tomb or a neighborhood tomb. William Deaver, an expert on Near Eastern archaeology and anthropology who has worked with Israeli archaeologists for 5 decades, said specialists have known about the ossuaries for years. The fact that it's been ignored tells you something. It would be amusing if it didn't mislead so many people. Jennifer Viagas goes on and she says, the human remains were analyzed by Carney Matheson, a scientist at the PaleoDNA laboratory at Lakeland University in Ontario, Canada. Mitochondria DNA examination determined the individual in the Jesus ossuary and the person in the ossuary linked to Mary Magdalene were not related. Okay. By the way, that's all that they found. Could not determine anything else. Goes on, Jacob Avici and his team suggest it is possible Jesus and Mary Magdalene were a couple. Judah, whom they indicate may have been their son, could have been the lad described in the Gospel of John as sleeping in Jesus' lap at the Last Supper. That's what Brother Sharp, we were talking about this. I can't remember a lad sleeping in Jesus' lap at the Last Supper. I don't remember reading that in the book of John, first of all. I've read it again since then. I still can't find it. Maybe somebody can point it out to me. But this is what Scott Benight says, a professor of religions in North Park University. How can they say this is Jesus' DNA, number one? How's that possible? There is no way to know if this DNA matches the DNA of Jesus of Nazareth until they get some DNA from the latter to match it with the DNA of the former. Wasn't that right? In fact, it was Cloner who said on an interview I saw, he said, how in the world can you get the DNA of God? How can you do that? How likely is it that the early Christians built, and this is a great point that Mr. McKnight makes here. How likely is it that the early Christians built and sustained a tomb of Jesus if they, at the same time, were declaring His resurrection and ascension and were undergoing persecution for following Him? Unlikely to the extreme. And so, that's so true. And here's something else, too, very interesting. The Da Vinci Code and the Holy Grail and the Jesus Papers and some of this other stuff that's come out already, they make the argument that, okay, after Jesus was crucified, Mary Magdalene was taken to France by John. And Mary Magdalene had her daughter, which Jesus was supposedly the father, and from that you had the dynasty that came about in southern France. Mary Magdalene supposedly was married there in southern France, was buried there in southern France. And anyway, that's what the Da Vinci Code's about. If you saw that, then you'll know that's the case. Well, in this particular story that's now come out, the lost tomb of Jesus, they claim that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married. Same story, second verse. Had a son this time and was buried with other members of the family in Jerusalem. Now, who's right? I'd say neither one of them are right. They're both absolutely wrong. They are consistent in one thing. They're trying to undermine the truthfulness of the Scriptures. That's the only thing they have in common, friend. That's it. But they're going off after this goose chase and after this goose chase. They're chasing things over here and over there. Anything to create doubt in somebody's mind, that's all there is to it. The alleged lost tomb of Jesus Christ was a well-known location in its day, not a secret hiding. Can you see the picture there? You can't see it real well, but it's really decorated. It kind of got a front of a house, gable view of a house there on the front with a circle right there. And there's the entrance of it. That's the tomb where they found this thing. It's a nice-looking place. It was kept up. Can you imagine the disciples of Jesus Christ burying Jesus in a place like this, a well-known tomb where a lot of other people were buried? Don't you think the Jews would have jumped on that in a second to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Don't you think that somebody would have come along in the last 2,000 years and said, you know, this is just not right. Jesus was not raised from the dead. Well, somebody's not come along and tried it. But friend, let me tell you something. If what they're saying today is true, the Jews would have done that a long, long, long time ago. They didn't do it. That's because they couldn't do it. Secondly, the alleged names on the tomb were common at the time. Even if it was Jesus written on that. So what? Dozens of other tombs have Jesus written there. And there were a lot of Josephs too. Jesus, son of Joseph, was a very common thing. What about Jesus of Nazareth? That's not what was on the tomb, but that's what Jesus was known as. The alleged names on the tomb were common. Biblical scholars and archaeologists have debunked the report as being unsubstantiated from the very beginning. 16 years ago. Wait a minute. 26 years ago. The last 26 years it's been debunked. Now these film guys come in, the documentary fellows, what do you think it's all about, really? I think Mr. Cloner's right. I think it's all about money. That's what I think it's all about. Or at least their selfish motivations. Of course, they're also trying to disprove the Scriptures. Historians testify against the report. Josephus, Tacitus, many others testify against the truthfulness of what these guys were alleging. The Scriptures testify against the story. Well, let's talk a little bit about what the Scriptures teach. Let's begin by emphasizing the fact, the reality, friend, that Jesus Christ was crucified. You know, Josh McDowell, in his book, The Evidence, New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, on page 203, says, I have come to the conclusion that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most wicked, vicious, heartless hoaxes ever foisted upon the minds of men, or it is the most fantastic fact of history. And of course, in order for him to be raised from the dead, he had to first die. Now, many deny, even today, that Jesus actually died on the cross. Now, these fellows here aren't making that claim, necessarily, but some do. But friend, Jesus was crucified. Josephus makes that point, Tacitus makes that point, the Scriptures make that point, so we're not going to spend much time speaking to that point. Jesus was crucified on the cross. But what about the resurrection from the dead? That's the question. That's what's being denied by those who are... By the way, let me make this other side note here. There was an article written by, I believe it was CNN. Anyway, I can't remember exactly who wrote the article, but there was an article trying to say, okay, maybe the findings of Jegovici is right, and maybe they did find the bones of Jesus Christ. But that would not deny the spiritual resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friend, wait a minute. Hold on. The Bible teaches a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's all there is to it. Either the Bible's right or the Bible's wrong about that. And I with all my heart believe the Bible's right about that. Jesus Christ was raised from death. That tomb was empty. The grave clothes were folded nice and neat there where Jesus was lying. Jesus Christ got up and walked out of that tomb. Now, this is central to Christianity in John chapter 2, in verse 19. John 2, 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That's what Jesus said He was going to do. And the Jews knew about this, didn't they? In fact, they issued that a guard stand by the tomb of Christ to make sure that no one came and stole the body. They were aware of this. And they did all within their power to keep Jesus from being removed from that tomb. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, in verse 40, Jesus says, for Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And Matthew 27, in verse 63, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. So the Jews knew about this. They called him a deceiver. So they issued the guard. They knew that Jesus had foretold that He was going to rise from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. You know, it's interesting, in verse 14 specifically, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are still in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Why would the Apostle Paul say that, especially there in verse 19? That's something you need to think about. Why would the apostles go around preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ if there be no resurrection from the dead? Why would they do that? Why would Paul suffer all that he suffered? Why would he go through all that he went through? Why did the rest of the apostles suffer martyrdom? Why would they do that if there be no resurrection, if Christ is not raised from the dead? Why would they preach a lie and die for that lie? Why would they suffer for that lie? If they were not eyewitnesses to the fact, why in the world would they do what they did? Matthew 27 and verse 15, Luke 23 and verse 46. Luke 23:46, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus gave up the ghost, Matthew 27:50. Jesus was buried, Matthew 27:57, in the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. Luke 23 and verses 50 through 56 tell of that story. Jesus arose from the dead, Matthew 28 and verse 1, verses 1 through 10. As Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, as other women went to the tomb, they found the tomb empty. The stone, the big stone that had been rolled over the tomb door, had been rolled out of the way. It had been moved. Not one man could have done that either. It was a large tomb. And the guards were set there to keep the tomb secure. They sealed the tomb. Jesus appears to many after His resurrection. Matthew 28 and verse 9. We see that Jesus there appears. In fact, as you go through the list of those to whom Jesus appeared to, in Mark 16 and verse 9, and John 20 and verse 14, He appears to Mary Magdalene. In Matthew 28 verses 9 and 10, women returning from the tomb, He appears to them. Peter, later in that very day, Luke 24:34 and 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5. Luke 24:13-33, He has a discussion with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. In Luke 24:36-43, He appears to the apostles. The doors were shut. They were locked in. And there's Jesus. He appears to them. And Thomas was not present at that event. Then in John 20:26-29, Thomas was present as Jesus appears to them yet again. In John 21:1-23, He appears to seven disciples by the lake of Tiberias. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 6, Paul says that He appeared to a multitude of over 500 at one time. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 7, He appears to James. And in Acts 1st chapter verses 3 through 12, it tells of His ascension. I don't know how many people were there, but a lot of people saw the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Something else that I caught as I was reading some of the articles relating to this lost tomb of Jesus. I read it more than once too. In fact, four or five times in different articles. They would say that the Christian belief is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and immediately after His resurrection, He ascended to heaven to be with His Father. Well, where do they get that from? Now, these are people that don't believe the story, but that's what they said. I am amazed sometimes at the ignorance of biblical knowledge that people have. I'm amazed. Jesus did not ascend directly to heaven. He appeared. He conversed with His disciples. And did so for 40 days. And then after 40 days, He ascended to heaven. They had witnessed that ascension. And then 10 days later was the day of Pentecost. But all these things took place. Jesus ascends, Mark 16:19, Luke 24:51, Acts 1:9 and 10. Jesus was raised from the dead. Now here's some evidence that we need to think about regarding the resurrection of Christ. You know, Jesus was placed in a new tomb. It was a solid tomb, carved out of a rock. Matthew 27 and verse 60, Mark 15:46, and Luke 23:53. A new tomb, a solid rock tomb. It was new. It was a tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. And it was a guarded tomb. As we've already mentioned, Matthew 27:62-65, the Jews were told to go and make it as secure as you can. And I assure you, friend, they did everything within their power to make that tomb secure. Everything. They wanted to make absolutely certain that their number one enemy would not have any existence after this. They wanted to keep him in that tomb above all else. It was a guarded tomb. The guard was set there. It was a sealed tomb. What they did, they marked the tomb to the point to where they could tell whether or not something had happened, whether someone had gotten into it. And of course, the scriptures teach that the angels came and removed the stone. And of course, those guards, they fell down on the job. And then the story was made up later that, well, you know, we'll secure you. They gave them money to make up a lie and say that the disciples came and stole the tomb. The tomb was sealed. It was made secure. And after that, friend, it was an empty tomb. There was no one else, going back up to the new tomb idea, there was no one else in that tomb. So no mistakes could be made there. Jesus was the only one there. It was an empty tomb after Jesus was raised from death. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew 28. And let's look at a few passages there. Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning in verse 11. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. There were even church fathers who made mention of the fact that the Jews were still telling that story over 100 years later. But that was their story, and they were sticking to it. But it was a story that was absolutely wrong. They were bribed into telling that story. How could the disciples come and steal the body, and why would they do that? You know, the apostles preached, suffered, and died for this story. Would they do that for a lie? Would they steal the body of Jesus Christ, hide it in another tomb somewhere, and then go out and preach that he had been raised from the dead and suffer persecution for it? Would they do that? Before his death, Judas betrayed Jesus. Betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. That was before his death, burial, and resurrection. After Judas had done that, though, and he realized what he had done, what did Judas do? He went out and hanged himself. The other 11 disciples, as well as Matthias, who was later added to them, there in Acts chapter 1, as well as the Apostle Paul later, who saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, they all preached the resurrected Christ. They died for the resurrected Christ. From historical accounts, there's only one that did not die a martyr's death, and that's John. All the rest of them died a martyr's death. Why would they do that for a lie? Please tell me, why in the world would they do such a thing? A quote from Paul Little: "Are these men who helped transform the moral structure of society consummate liars or deluded madmen? These alternatives are harder to believe than the fact of the resurrection, and there is no shred of evidence to support them." It is harder to believe that the apostles would suffer and die for a lie than to believe the resurrection actually took place. That's harder to believe. J.P. Moreland said the disciples had nothing to gain by lying and starting a new religion. They faced hardship, ridicule, hostility, and martyrs' deaths. In light of this, they could never have sustained such unwavering motivation if they knew what they were preaching was a lie. I want you to think about that again. How many of the disciples after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ turned against Him? How many of them? Not a one of them. How many of them died martyrs' deaths? All but John, and he died, from records, on the island of Patmos, as he was exiled to Patmos because of his preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The disciples were not fools, and Paul was a cool-headed intellectual of the first rank. There would have been several opportunities over 3 or 4 decades of ministry to reconsider and renounce the lie. Would you suffer for a lie? Would you die for a lie? What evidence? That's the hardest evidence there is. We could go into all the archaeological evidence, and we could talk about historical records and documentations and quotes from Josephus and others. All of that's verifiable and it's true. They all recognize that Jesus was raised from the dead. But the greatest testimony of all is the loyalty, the faithfulness of those 11 men, those 12 men, and 13 including the Apostle Paul. The only thing that would have caused men who had fled to preach Jesus would have been the ultimate confirmation. They did not steal his body. They could not if they would. It was guarded by guards. Military men. It's like you going, like us getting a group of people here together to go down here and to overthrow a guarded place of the Marine Corps. I don't think I want to try that. They could not if they would not if they could. Liars do not live like those men lived, and liars do not die like those men died. Has the lost tomb of Jesus Christ been found? You know, men will try, and they will continue to try, and I don't know what's coming next. I'm sure there's something else that they'll dig up somewhere that they'll try to use to undermine the credibility of the Scriptures. But I do know this, that this kind of stuff is nothing, but a demonic agenda to try to attempt to undermine the faith of people and to undermine Christianity. That's all it is. And scoffers, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 that scoffers will come. And there's no doubt we have many of them amongst us today. We have scoffers all over. There is a demonic agenda. They are doing all they can to undermine the faith of people. The Da Vinci Code, that was last year's news. This is this year's news. What will be next? They are united only in their agenda because their own conclusions, their rabbits that they're chasing, lead in different directions. It's a bunch of nonsense. And in fact, after tomorrow, I suspect as you watch the news, you're going to hear more archaeologists come out and say, "This is a bunch of nonsense." I suspect you're going to hear that quite a bit in the next few days. If you watch Fox News, in fact, there have been several. CBS and Fox both have come out and said, and they've used people to come out and say, "This is ridiculous." But yet, you know what? People are still going to believe it. People are going to be dissuaded from the Scriptures and from the truth by such claims as this. They dig something up and they make conjectures. Well, this doesn't say Mary Magdalene, but you know, it does say Maria. So, Maria the Master. That can be Mary Magdalene, can it? Well, and Jesus. There are a lot of Jesuses around. But you know what? This could be the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus, son of Joseph. There were a lot of Jesuses, son of Joseph, too, by the way. They're only united in their agenda. The apostles, the disciples, the historians, and you know what? Even the archaeologists and even the enemies all testify to the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, we would have known it. There were enough people trying to uncover that as a scam that we would have known without a shadow of doubt. It had been uncovered. It would have been discovered. But even the enemies, therefore, because of their attempts and their failures, even testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, friend. Even the enemies. Jesus is not in any tomb today. He is alive. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Right now, today, friend, He is Lord of lords and King of kings. if you are not a servant of this Lord and Master, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then you need to be. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not? Let me tell you something else. Jesus Christ is living today. And there is the day in which He will return to receive unto Himself those who are loyal to Him. But not only that, that day will also bring about great horror for those who fail to follow Him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day to be glorified in the saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." What testimony was that? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And people believed it. Scoffers even turned to it. Acts chapter 17, and the Athenians, many of them believed and became Christians. And people today, the story is true. We can believe it. We can rest assured of the factual nature of it. Are you serving the risen Lord? If you are not, terror awaits you. If you refuse to turn to Him, submit to Him, obey Him, terror awaits you. Why not turn to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? You know, there's something else. I would hate to live the life of some of these fellows who are going around trying to discredit the teachings of the Scripture. What a miserable life it must be not to have any hope. What a terrible way to go. What a terrible way to live. No hope. Without Christ in the world, no hope. What a sad life. Of course they have to depend on money. They have to seek out things like that. They don't have heaven. Do you? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You can come forward this morning and you can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be buried with Him in the baptismal waters. You can be raised to walk in newness of life right now. And you can have the hope of heaven. If you are a Christian, you're not living for Him, please, we need you, the Lord needs you to stand for the truth, to live for Him who died for you and was raised the third day. If there's anything we can do to help you, won't you come? Mr. Gather, we stand and sing the song and select it for your encouragement.